This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. A weekly contributor here is Greg Quinn, a naturalist and farmer. Greg is responsible for bringing the black currants back to the U.S. market and grows black currants on his farm in the Hudson Valley.
I'm Greg Quinn, and welcome to another entry into Notes from the Currant Farm. Here on the farm, March is the battleground for the contest between winter and spring. No other season fights so hard to hang on as does winter. The cool spring easily gives way to the warm summer with the smoothness of a drop of rain sliding off a new green leaf. And summer is relieved to let go of her heat to autumn's first cool breath. And then autumn slips away silently after his colors have all faded to grays and brown. But March is when winter stubbornly tries to crush the hopes of spring by always threatening one last snowstorm and refusing to go away without a fight. But the inevitable spring slowly wears away winter's frozen resolve with gentle teases of occasional warm days and even warmer breezes. The March sun is higher in the sky, and its brightness turns the crystal beauty of the once menacing icicles into gentle drips of life-giving water. Sharp, hard-crusted snowdrifts soften and shrink away as if embarrassed to cover the new life below. And nothing heralds spring as much as the return of migratory birds. The robin has long been touted as the great harbinger of spring. But here in the Northeast, it's really the red-winged blackbird that's the true sign of winter's defeat. On the current farm, they always return within a week of the same time each year. The red-winged blackbird is one of the most abundant birds in North America. The males sport a glossy black plumage with a startling scarlet and yellow shoulder epaulettes. They have the ability to expose these red feathers or hide them, depending on how confidently they feel and how much they want to impress the ladies. They are usually found near streams and wetlands, and the female plumage is more subdued, as is often the case with birds, so that she is less visible when sitting on the nest. Her more camouflaged coloring is streaked brown with a lighter shaded head. She looks a bit like a large dark sparrow. The males need to be the center of attention. They sit atop cattails and perch in the top branches of the still leafless trees, singing their song all day long. Their distinctive call is not the most melodious, but I love it because it always trumpets the return of spring. The females are found in lower vegetation, searching for food and diligently weaving their remarkable nests. The nests are built in the branches of low bushes or upright grasses and wetlands. They are ingeniously designed by first winding stringy plant material around upright stems and then weaving in a platform of thicker wet vegetation. She keeps weaving wet leaves and decayed wood until the nest takes form, and then she smears mud all over the inside, which hardens and forms a cup. She then lines the cup with soft, dry grasses. I took apart a nest last year and found a woven pattern consisting of 23 strips of willow bark, an amazing amount of dried grasses, and 133 cattail leaves, some as much as 18 inches long. Their nest measures 4 to 7 inches across and 3 to 7 inches deep, in which she lays 3 to 5 speckled eggs. The red-winged blackbirds are omnivorous, and their diet varies throughout the season. They feed mostly on weed seeds and found grains such as corn and rice, but a quarter of their diet consists of insects such as dragonflies, damselflies, butterflies, moths, as well as some beetles and weevils. During the breeding season, they increase their protein intake with small animals such as snails, frogs, worms, spiders, mollusks, and carrions. The red-winged blackbirds pick insects off of plants, but they can also catch them in flight. And in the summer, they eat blueberries, blackberries, and other fruit. Fortunately, they eat the insects off my currant bushes, but they leave the berries alone because they're too tart. It's easy to attract these wonderful birds to your feeder with seed mixtures and suet. And in autumn, red-winged blackbirds gather in huge flocks in farmers' fields with other blackbird species and starlings to eat the fallen kernels of the harvested crops in preparation for their 800-mile migration to the southern United States. We've had a hard winter here on the farm, and nothing brings a smile to my face as much as the first announcement of spring. hear a podcast of this and previous notes, go to Currents.com. That's Currents with an A. I'm Greg Quinn. Join me next week right here for another edition of Notes from the Current Farm.
I would love to get your feedback on America Weekend. Just send me an email. My address is Mike AW, like America Weekend, Mike AW at MikeBennettRadio.com. Easy enough, right? Mike AW at MikeBennettRadio.com. I would definitely like to hear from you, and I will definitely reply. You can also follow me on Twitter, like many other people. That's at MikeBennett11. Twitter, that's at MikeBennett11. And with naturalist and farmer Greg Quinn, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Do you play to win the game of life? Many people don't.
You see this in sports with underdogs. They get the lead. They may be as surprised as everybody else, and that's when it happens.
They start playing to not lose. Ironically, a loss is exactly what they usually get.
It's because they're playing a team that does the opposite. Their opponent keeps playing to win even when they're losing.
They see being down as a temporary condition, something they will overcome.
So many people today are playing to not lose. They're driven by fear and play from a position of weakness. Sadly, they'll remain stuck right where they are at best.
But you're a winner. You're driven by hope. So play to your strengths and you'll reach big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Can you die of a broken heart? And the answer is yes, but it takes a little while. Here's the social science of it. It's called anniversary deaths, and there's evidence that people pick when they want to pass on. Calamity Jane died of pneumonia on the same day as her lover, Wild Bill Hickok's death. Elvis, so attached to his mother, died 19 years later, 2 days after the anniversary of her death. Death by broken heart, it's extreme, but anniversary reactions can manifest as physical disease, substance abuse, and depression. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, if you have someone who misses a loved one on painful anniversary dates, give them extra attention, keep them occupied, and offer a little hope. Give them a reason to live rather than time to dwell on the past. Has this happened to someone in your family? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.